everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm very thrilled to have my guest today with me. She is a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author of fiction. She started writing when she was a receptionist, which I love this. And she's won so many awards, including a National Indie Excellence Award for her best-selling novel, Finding Emma. She wrote a USA Book News Award for Word Game. And she was a finalist for USA Book News Award for The Memory Child. She's had over 1 million copies of her books sold around the world, which is remarkable. She also has a very interesting webpage, so I can't wait for you to meet New York Times bestselling author Stina Holmes. Hi, Stina. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I love your website. You have so many interesting things on there. It's, you know, well, first of all, I have macaroons on the front page, and so I'm a macaroon lover. And I know you're a baker, so do you bake macaroons yourself?
Oh, God, no. I would just prefer to eat them. I've tried, and they don't come out the same way, so I would just prefer to find a really nice bakery and stop and try what they have.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is a difference, isn't there, between the way the French bakeries make their macaroons?
Oh, my God. Okay, so full honesty here, I have not found a macaroon that I love more than what I've had in Paris. I've tried every bakery I go to. I pick up one, I try it, and they are not the same.
Isn't it odd? I wonder if it's the ingredients and Paris. I mean,
I think it has to be.
It has to be because I have, I'm on the west coast of Florida, but when I go back home to Miami, there is a small little French pastry shop where all he does is just a few pastries, but every flavor of macaron you could ever imagine. And he is a French baker. And just somehow through his really heavily French-accented speak and my non-French-speaking self, we managed to communicate so well. But his macarons are so good, Stina. It's one of my favorite things to eat. I'm going to have to send some to you next time I'm over in Miami. I'm going to have to pick some out and send them to you. Yeah, because if you're an aficionado, you understand that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's almost to the point where it doesn't matter where you are, but you'll look at them and you'll be like, do I want to ruin that memory that I have of what the perfect macaron tastes like? I'm not sure.
But we're always chasing it, though, chasing the next great
one,
are, right?
We are, yes. Absolutely.
There you go.
I think you can't not.
You can't not. So I will pick out something really special the next time I'm over, and I'll get your address from your publicist and send something to you. Well, let's talk about books because, after all, that's why you're here. You have
a new book
called The Forgotten Ones. Oh, goodness, my goodness. What an amazing book. What an amazing book. And your reviews have been so spectacular on this book. Everybody is raving about it. Oh, and by the way, here's the thing. You've got how many books under your belt now?
Around 30.
So, and you're kind of a fast writer. I mean, because you're still a baby in my world, you know.
Oh.
you're still young, but but do you still get nervous when a book comes out and you're kind of peeking around for the first incoming reviews?
Oh my God! So in all honesty, it takes me forever to look at my reviews, and I have a group on Facebook called Stina Secret Society, and they will often tell me if the reviews are good, and they'll say, okay, you can go look at them now. Or, there's a really bad one posted on Goodreads, Stina. Don't look at that one, but just look at all the other ones. And so for the forgotten ones, I think it was like, it took me about 3 days before I would look at the reviews, and I just let everyone else tell me that they were good and that they were okay. But I was so nervous, and especially because of the ending.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of readers email me about it, and I've had a lot of people give me their opinions, which I'm glad about, because then it means that the book is memorable, right? That it's not just one of those
sure.
ones, as soon as they close the page, that they forget about it.
Absolutely.
So that's good.
Yeah, I think you want, at least for me, because I read so much, I want a book that I keep thinking about long after I've stopped reading it. To me,
yeah.
whether it's unsettling or heartwarming or emotional, in some way, I want to have that book in my mind. That, to me, is the mark of a really great read. So good for
mm-hmm.
you that you have people writing
well,
to you and
you.
Telling you all that stuff. That's really terrific.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Forgotten Ones. Would you please just kind of give a little bit of the elevator pitch?
Sure. So it is a story about those deep, dark family secrets that we all have and that we try to keep buried. But a deathbed confession brings them out to light, and the ramifications of that could be deadly.
It's a very tight psychological twisty turny. I don't know how else to say it. It's
twisty
turny, Stina. You're going to have to live with that one from me.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I loved it. And, you know, I love your cover art, too. It's
Isn't
beautiful.
It gorgeous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you get to choose your cover art, or does Lake Union do that for you?
Normally, I work with them. So I give them some ideas of what I'm looking for, and then they come back with ideas as well. But for this one, it was basically, here's the cover. We love it. You should too. And I was like, oh, but I do love it.
There you go.
Which was
there
great.
You go.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
I want to kind of go back to the beginning. When I was introducing you, I said you started writing when you were a receptionist. And that just kind of tickles me to no end. So I want to talk about when you were a young girl, or just a child, actually. Did you like to read and write back then?
Well, when I was young, I had a reading disorder, and I really struggled with reading and writing. It wasn't until, I think it was like grade 5, when it just clicked, and all of a sudden a book I was reading started to make sense. And once that happened, I couldn't stop, and I would read everything. I started off living in the school library during lunches as long as I could, and I would read fantasy and science fiction, and then I'd find books in my mom's closet, and I would hide those, and I'd read them when she didn't think I was looking, because there were romances.
Right?
And I've never stopped, and I think my favorite places have always been libraries or sitting under a tree with a book when I was a youth. And I always wanted to write, but I didn't think I could. I didn't think that I had the skill or the talent to be the next Nora Roberts or Stephen King or Tolkien.
Right.
Like I didn't believe in myself enough. So I didn't pursue it until I was in my 30s, and it was back in 2005, and my husband was I think he was tired of me complaining about how much I hated being a receptionist, and I wanted to do something with my life other than just being a mom and a pastor's wife and a receptionist. And so he was like, why don't you just write a book? Here's a contest. You have 6 months to do it. See if you can do it. And I'm not one who likes to be challenged because I don't like losing. So he challenged me to do it, and I did it. And I won amazingly. Still surprises
wow.
me to this day, because I knew nothing about writing. So it took me another 5 years after that to have the courage to try again. I would keep writing, and I would take courses, and I would learn my craft. And then when I was ready, I started off in romance, and then I put out Finding Emma. But it was a matter of believing in myself enough that I could do it.
You know, How do you go from just saying, I wish I could write a book, to I can write a book, to actually learning the craft of writing?
Well, I like to push myself, and I like to challenge myself. And I don't like being told no, that I can't do something. So when I wrote this book and I knew nothing about writing, and I realized afterwards, someone had said to me, you know, like, you really need to learn your craft a little bit better. It was really good, but you could do a lot better. I was mortified. And so I had no idea what they were talking about. So I took a writing class, just an online one, and I realized I knew nothing. Like, they were talking about story structure and plot and the heroes and all that. And I had no idea what they were talking about. So I kind of forced myself to start from the very beginning. And while I did that, I kept writing, and I would try and submit to agents, and they would come back and say, nice story idea, but you need to learn your craft more. And so I just kept doing that. I would take courses, and I would do it online, and I would do it when my kids were in bed sleeping, or when I had a couple minutes after dinner or whatnot.
Interesting, interesting. tell me about when your first book was published and how you felt.
The one that I won the contest for, or?
Mm-hmm. Your first published novel.
My very first published novel. Oh,
yeah.
My God. It was a dream come true. And in fact, I called it Once Upon a Dream. And I was on cloud nine. And it, ever since that moment, there is that feeling of sense of worth. Like, this is mine, and this is something I can do. And
I
still carry that with me. That, oh my God, like, this is, I can do this. I still have that feeling, and it amazes me. Even when I look at all the books I've written, oh my God, like, I can do this. No one can take this away from me. This is mine.
That's right. That's absolutely true. And that's quite something else when you look back on it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So your Emma series is the largest of the series, if I'm not mistaken. You have 5 books in that series, correct?
Yes. And then my next one would be The Stillwater, which has 4.
And
yeah.
but you also write these sweet little romance series too, and you also are in a kind of like a multi-author series, a connected series of books for Love at the Chocolate Shop, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How fun is that?
As soon as CJ Carmichael pitched it to me, I was like, I am in. I don't even care what the genre is or nothing. It has to do with the chocolate shop. I am in. Oh,
there
my God.
You go, because
it was a lot of
that's
fun.
That's your favorite thing of all times, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have another small town romance series, My Love So Sweet, and it's all about chocolates and bakeries and cupcakes and set in small towns. And one of them, the character had been to Paris, and she had learned how to bake in Paris and whatnot. It's like my little happy place.
How fun is that?
They're fun to do.
So
yeah.
you have all these books that you've written, and really in an incredibly small amount of time for someone who is so recently published. You're very prolific. But you have a lot of other passions besides reading and writing and chocolate. You, as we were talking about, baking, but you're also a travel nut. You are a big-time
nut. I really am.
Where have you traveled? Where have you traveled?
Not enough places.
There's there's not enough time, is there? Because there are so many great places to go.
Well, yeah, and then I have, I have family, 3 teenage daughters. I need to be home sometime, I guess. I know.
I figured if they don't starve for a couple of weeks, you're okay. What's on your bucket list?
I like how
you tell me what's still on your bucket list.
I would love to go back to Europe, and I've done Germany twice. I would love to go back again. I haven't seen enough of the town, and I would love to explore more of Belgium. Italy is fantastic and amazing. I would love to go back to Santorini and actually stay there for like a week.
Yes. Yes.
I would, you know, the southern France. I love, like, I just, to start planning a trip, it's hard for me to decide where to go. But I have good news. I am actually in the middle of planning a Christmas market river cruise for readers starting next year. So it'll be the end of November, beginning of December. And it's I have other New York Times authors coming with me. And we're going to be on a river cruise, and we're going to go to like Belgium and France and Germany and Switzerland and stop at all the Christmas markets. It's going to be amazing.
Are you going to go to one of the Danube River cruises? Because they're amazing.
I just want to do all of them.
I know. I know.
Have you done one?
I have done them. Yes. I've done a lot of traveling, and I've done regular cruising too. And all of it's tons of fun. You know,
I agree.
And plus I live in Southwest Florida. It's a fun place, a wonderful place to live. I'm 4 miles from the river and the Gulf and, you know, close to Sanibel Island and Captiva. It's just amazing over here. I'm really, really lucky. So, you know, and it's don't be. You're welcome anytime. I have plenty of room. It's a hotbed of authors too, all the time. So it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. Tell me, when, you know, you've got 30 books under your belt, you've been writing and been published for what, 15 years now? So that's a couple books a year. That's a lot of books, and these are good sized books. What have you learned about yourself between book one and The Forgotten Ones?
I've learned that I need to slow down.
Really?
I learned that when I was writing quickly, I wasn't giving each book the love that it needed. But when I slow down and I really focus on making it the absolute best book that I can and going deeper with the emotional level and connection, I find the book is so much better. So that's what I did with The Forgotten Ones. I made myself really slow down, and I focused on the craft, and I focused on creating a connection between the characters and the readers. And it was great. Now, I also had life forced me to slow down. My one daughter went through a mental health crisis and was suicidal for about 3 years. And that was, I had written 4 books while she was in and out of the hospital. And The Forgotten One was the last book that I'd written during her last stay. And I just realized that there's so much more inside of me that I can be putting into my books. And when I'm rushing, I'm cheating my readers. And so I need to slow down. And I'm okay with that. It was a hard thing to learn, but I'm okay with it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. What have you learned about writing in the 15 years that you've been doing this?
That I don't know enough, and that I'm not as good as I thought I was. that there's always someone better than me. But I've also learned that there's a magic to storytelling. And that magic has to do with creating that connection with your readers. And it doesn't always have to be a warm, fuzzy connection. You can make them think and pierce their hearts and make them wiggle in their seats because they're uncomfortable. But if you create that connection and you really honor that connection that you're creating with your readers, that magic of storytelling is something that will never leave your reader's heart when they think about you and your book. And that, I think, is more important to me than just being an author that someone reads and sets aside and then they pick up another book really quickly. I don't want my stories to be forgotten. I want them to really make an impact one way or another.
Well, they certainly have made an impact with me. And I'm glad to hear you say that. So my next question to you is, do you write for you or do you write for your readers?
That is a really good question. Ultimately, I write for me. It is my passion, and it's my way of, I've always said that when I write, I take those really deep, dark, hidden fears that I have in my own heart about being a mother or being a woman, being a daughter, a sister. I take those and I force them out into the light, and I focus on them and I deal with them, and I make them less scary. And when I do that, I'm writing for me. When I then focus on the story of what I've written and I try to go deeper with my words to create that emotional connection, then I'm writing for my readers. But I always start with writing for myself first. And then if I can make it real for me, and I'm really, it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, but if it's real and honest and truthful from my heart, then I'm gonna create a connection with my reader as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. No, it really does. You know, I know that there are a lot of writers who say, hey, I write because it's a business, and that's totally fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But I'm always interested when when someone tells me why they write. Most writers are, they just tell me that they have to write. Doesn't matter if it gets sold. It's nice if it does. But it's just important to write, and they get antsy when they don't write. Do you feel like that?
Yes, and my husband will often be able to tell if I haven't written in a while, because I get very antsy, and I have a hard time. I have a hard time getting my emotions out and being vocal about them. And I find for me, writing is the best way for me to get across what I'm really feeling. And I can, if I'm having a hard time going through a situation and I can't understand what I'm feeling or what I should be feeling or what I should be doing, if I write it down and write everything out, then there's like clarity comes to me. So I will probably always be a writer. I may not always be a published author, and not every book will be published for someone to read. Sometimes they're just for me to get out, but I'll always write.
It's remarkable just hearing you speak like that, because I have a friend who I have known since I'm 5 years old, and believe me, I'm 105 right now. And she said it's just something, she's an actress, and she said it's something she just has to do. It's not, she just has to do it. And, you know, I understand that. I do. I mean, I'm not creative in that respect. I can't write at all. People laugh at me when I say this, but I mean, I can barely get my dress on the right way before I get out the front door. So I can read, though, like nobody's business. But I understand what you're saying. I get antsy. Or if I've taken time off and haven't done a show, it makes me kind of, I feel like I'm out of touch with me.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, like you were saying, you know, your feelings come out when you write, the same way as a lot of actors or comedians let the emotion out through their art as well. So kudos to you. What do your daughters think about what you do? Are any of them creative as well?
Oh yeah, they are. My youngest, she's been having to write stories or poems, and I read her things, and it takes her forever to get her words out. She has some reading disorders as well. But when I read the emotion in her stories, it just hits me hard. And I hope that she will become like an activist with her words, because she has
how
so
wonderful.
Much emotion. Like, she's just, it's just amazing. But all my daughters are creative. My oldest loves to bake, and her cupcakes and cakes that she makes are just phenomenal. And my middle daughter is in photography, and she loves to express herself that way. So I'm very glad. They unfortunately didn't get their smarts, like when it's school smarts, from me, but they got the creativity. So that's a bonus.
There you go. That's okay. You know, you have to have a balance of both of them, though, don't you, Sina?
Yes. Yeah.
Do they understand how famous you are and how well-read you are? They don't know.
Well,
they,
I'm not very famous,
know,
but thank you.
But they don't understand what New York Times bestselling author means, do they? They don't get the significance of that. Oh my God,
no,
they're
going to
be blown away.
No, when I'm just their mom.
Yeah,
their
I guess so. It's
when
true.
They find out. Yeah, they get embarrassed when their teachers ask them about my books or whatever, right? And the fact that, like, I'm doing a book tour right now, and I'm donating half of my royalties from the print book to an organization that deals with suicidal prevention. And so there's a lot of book signings that I'm doing, and they're just, like, really, you're going away again? Like, it's no big deal. This is just taking me away from them kind of thing. It's no big deal.
So funny. I guess it's like anything, any other, you know, see, authors are my celebrities. So, but I'm thinking, I guess it's just like, do celebrities' kids realize their parents are celebrities? I guess not, if it's something you live with, right? You
That's
really
right.
are
I think
just
so, yeah.
mom. That's so cute.
Yeah.
What's next for you? What's next for you, Stina?
Well, in terms of books or just life
just,
in general?
Whatever you want to tell me about.
Well, I have a new book I just submitted to my editor, which is fabulous.
Uh-huh.
And I have that Christmas market tour that I'm in the middle of. I'm doing this book signing right now, and I'm just focused on loving life. I'm really taking the time to enjoy it. Like I said before, it's been a very stressful 3 years.
Yes.
And things are good right now. And I haven't been able to breathe. And so this year, while promoting the book and you know, eventually working on a new one and all that, I'm also going to focus on breathing and just
good
breathing.
For you. You know, there's something to be said for just reveling the fact that there's calm. Isn't there?
Yeah. I need some of that calm, so yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it has been just an honor and a pleasure talking to you. I've kept you way longer than I promised you I would, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm not, because I've just enjoyed chatting with you.
Oh, I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, and have Mickey give you my email so that we can keep in touch. And I'm sending you macaroons. And next time I'm over there, I will carefully and individually wrap each one delicately with great love and send them off to you in Canada from Florida. But I swear you'll have a good time with it. And I did notice on your website also, by the way, we're going to talk about that, that you also have a cookbook.
Yeah, it's actually from my reader group. I used to do cookie exchanges every year. And so those are recipes that we put together during the cookie exchanges. And I put it together so everyone could just download it for free. And since it's all their recipes, I just put a little bit of time into it to creating
Lovely.
The book. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Tell everyone where they
can
find you.
I like to give back to my readers.
Well, you know what?
Well,
I can tell. I'm over here now. I'm over here signing up for your newsletter, by the way. So just so I can keep in touch with you. Tell everybody where to find you on the internet, please.
Well, come on over to my website. It's stinaholmes.com. Sign up for my newsletter. Like I've said, I love focusing on my readers. They're my number one thing, my joy that I like to do when it comes to writing. I'm also on Facebook, just stinaholmes.author, or look for my reader group, Stina's Secret Society. It's on Facebook, and come and join. I'd love to have you. That's my little community, and they're like my family. I'm on Instagram under author Stina Holmes, and Twitter for Stina Holmes. I'm anywhere you can find me, basically.
So basically all you have to do is Google her and you just, I can't stress enough how fun your website is. So that's Stina Holmes, HOLMES.com. You got to go and check it out. She has Stina has a things she loves and things she can't stand. Now I am in agreement with you on most of these things, particularly macaroons, but when you're saying you hate mushrooms, I'm so disappointed because I make a mushroom empanada that is to die for. So we have to agree to
I call them devil's dung.
I know you do. And it kind of is making me, you know, rethink my love of, no, I'll never rethink my love of mushrooms. We'll have to agree to disagree on that, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Dina Holmes, New York Times bestselling author. What a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much. Would you come back again one day when we can spend some more time?
I would love to. I would love to. You just let me know anytime and I'm here.
I will. And I'll make sure Mickey gets us in touch with each other, okay?
Perfect.
Thanks so much, Dina. Have a great time. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And that's my first show for today. To stay tuned, in 3 hours I'll be talking about best-selling author Steve Conkley and his post-apocalyptic and dystopian thrillers. Love the guy. Love his books. Talk to you soon. See you later.